last moment. Cancer is a mutation of cells. There is only one kind of cancer. It is just found in many sites, S-I-T-E-S, within a living organism. And mind you, I said within a living organism. That's plant life, animal life, bird life, land life. And what happens is without changing the pattern, you continue to create and recreate and recreate the mutations of the cells themselves. What do I mean? The cells in your body today, none of them are over a year and a half old. So, whatever you have that you perceive as incorrect, you have simply duplicated into the new set of life forms. Well, I didn't mean to do that. I mean, I really didn't, sir, mean to do that. I know you didn't mean to do that. But that's what cell splitting and cell structure is. So, you also need to give your bodies opportunity to replace with healthy cells. And that means you have to give some attention to what caused the mutations in the first place. And with every individual, it will be as uniquely individual as are you. This is why you can't come up with something that's going to cure or heal everybody. And be kind to yourself. We can love ones as they walk through what are tedious journeys, frightening, terrifying experiences. Don Rhodes' wife, Sheila, started on chemotherapy Tuesday. And everyone waiting with each passing hour to see what she's going to do. So on about the third day, she begins to come up with a little nausea. Now, she is also prepared with wigs, hats with wigs. Now, do you think her hair is going to fall out or not? But doesn't have to, does it? Oh, let's start giving credit to self. You are such a magnificent mental being. This other stuff is just a housing that usually you have to leave because it gets so dilapidated. I'm going to ask for break. I'm going to let my little nucleus team have a conference and see whether or not they should just go and get at their work. I'm going to ask Ron or Melissa, if he forces it off on her, to get up and talk about their experience. I want every one of you to hear it. He tried the David Miller material. He ended up in jail. I'd like him to share that experience with us and on the tape so that others can know what they might expect under similar circumstances. Now, am I knocking David Miller? No, I'm really not. We each have to have wisdom. Each is going to have to evaluate whether that will work or not. But anybody who has now been in a court of law, even in Kern County, Bakersfield, you will note the total ignorance on the part of everybody in the courtroom except the ones who know. And you will hear and watch the faces and the ears turn as you begin to discuss something like Look at that gold eagle on top of that fringed war flag. That what? Well, don't you realize that's an admiralty flag? That's a military flag, meaning at war. And the mouth is open and they're drooling at you. And these are lawyers. They're not drooling over money this time. They're drooling. Because they know everything, and nobody in the room had any inkling. On the California flag, it not only has a fringe and a red star, but it has a spear point. That's in selective courtrooms. Some of them have two golden eagles, which are the symbol of your chief, the president. Now, aren't you proud of that? Here's your bird with its zipper open. But we do have someone who's come up with a better one than Zipper Clinton, and that's Flash Clinton. Billy Flash. And this is what you set up as a world leader.
Commander.
Yes.
Why does Bill Clinton wear boxer shorts?
I don't know. Anyone else? I mean, I know now that you're started. And you'll have to admit, it's lightened up the moment. And I would like for Ron to please share with us, and I'm doing this in advance so Dorma can sit and enjoy this also.
After
you eat. Especially after you eat. This time it's breakfast. Is this okay with everyone?
Yes.
Salu, have a break.
One comment?
Yes.
I just talked to a friend on the East Coast this morning, and they just came back from Europe, and they were in France, and they were in Paris. They went to the area where Lady Di had her accident, and just to show you how hidden the truth is from our general media or just the public here, and it's exposed a little bit more over there. There's graffiti on the wall in the area. Graffiti on the wall in the area right near there that says, in French and in English, this was not an accident, comma, this was murder. And in other areas near there, it said, MI6 did this. That's all.
And so be it. That's exactly what happened. It was more involved than that, but yeah, they're the ones who finally pulled it off. And it's going to be interesting as you find out more. A lot of it is truly going to be blamed on Gunther Rosbacher, but I'm telling you, that the gossip coming out is directly from ex-Mrs. Gunther Rosbacher. So let's be very careful about what we take in. But indeed, it was Her Majesty's Secret Service, MI6, that completed the job in conjunction with Mossad. This was to do two things. Completely destroy all relationships between the monarchy and Arabs, Muslims, against the Church of England. You cannot separate the different factions in your world. When you say, let us separate church and state, you can't. And once you take God out of state, you don't have a prayer. And in all of the rumors and discussions, keep your sense of humor. With all the rottenness and the suggestion that Di had had an abortion from some businessman and was pregnant with Dodi's child, There was also the graffiti under the message that said Clinton was here. So with that, if nobody has another comment, I'm going to leave. I want to tell you, no matter what it appears to be, you are doing fine. You are doing well. And what appears to not really be a win or very big will allow us to overlap enough to make it. And for that, let us give praise to God and accept the gifts. If the house goes somewhere out there, it will go into better hands. And if it needs to go, it is four walls and a ceiling. And too much junk anyway. Just make sure the animal life is cared for. That's all. Because that is what will hurt your heart. Not leaving an item or a thing. It will have bought you 3 more months of staying on the path. I salute you. I cherish you. And no, I'm not going to let you give up on me. Because I have no intention of giving up on you. People who choose to be away are not happy. Those who have come and done you in are absolutely, incredibly unhappy. And no one makes it so save self. And any who perceive they are in great disfavor but want to come back, quote, back, they're welcome. You've got some who just simply thought they were doing the right thing, and they thought they knew, and they thought they needed to play in this new age experience. There's some that need a family. They didn't mean to sever their family. And family members can be big enough to wrap them in your wings and welcome them home. And on that note, salut.
And I also am allowed to say that I come in the light of the one God of light, and I appreciate that opportunity. And thank you very much for the invitation to come home and to be with you all. I'd like to offer greetings from Paul Kenyon, Dr. Paul Kenyon, Hilda, Inouye, and the people in Honolulu. Obviously you've heard this maybe before, but we so look forward to receiving the contact and the tapes, the word, so that we can keep up with what's going on. And also my wife, Melissa, I'm sure expresses her appreciation for being here and gratitude for all your great efforts. It really does make a difference. And I my own assessment now, even with this income tax stuff that I've been going through, is that there's a real shift now. I don't know how else to say it other than the fact that we all of a sudden now have a surplus in our country of so many billions of dollars, and nobody knows where it's coming from. And I was thinking of the gold certificate and things of that. I don't know what impact that has, but I think that there's a softening up or some transformation going on at the administrative level, I would hope at least, in the government. And I don't know how else to say it other than I just see a little inklings of it, little clues that something's happening. And maybe it's happening here. I think Commander had mentioned that we create reality. If we are a thought form in God's mind, that we also create that way, that we can turn around the planet to work the way we say that it should work. Not should work, but I don't like that word, but possibly could work, where we would not have conflict, where we'd live in love and harmony. that's a possibility. And I would say that that's what we're up to. At least that was my commitment when I first came in confrontation with the Internal Revenue Service in 1980. Which brings us to our subject matter of my experience recently with the United States District Court in Honolulu. Before I go into that specific event, if I could just reference my history somewhat, is that in 1974 I met a man by the name of Buckminster Fuller, and I studied Bucky's works. People who don't know who Bucky is, he was on the cover of Time magazine, 1962, called The World's Friendly Genius. He did all of the geometrics for the geodesic dome. He got kicked out of Harvard twice, almost committed suicide at the age of 32 because he was despondent in the fact that he felt that he was useless. He only had that many years. He had maybe another 10 years in his life, and he thought he'd get himself away, out of the way from his wife and his newborn child so they would be successful. But he did not do that. He said, I did not give myself life. I cannot take my life. And therefore, he committed himself always and only to work on behalf of humanity, to serve God and silence about God for God. That's what he would say. But the point is I read his work, Utopia or Oblivion. And in it, he sets out certain understandings about economy and that it's a mythology, that all of our economists have these theories based upon lack or poverty. Thomas Malthus, Ricardo. These are Malthusian economics would say that we only have a certain amount of resources available on our spaceship Earth or planet, and that we are increasing at a geometric rate with human beings, and we don't have enough for everybody, so therefore people are going to be needing to be in poverty. So I studied with him, and then in 1980 I had my first confrontation with the Internal Revenue Service. And I couldn't believe it. I'd been practicing my profession of dentistry for 10 years. And to put it in a very short manner, I was appalled at what had happened. They had raided my accounts without a noticing. They had threatened my wife, who I was going through a divorce at that time. They had threatened my former wife, garnishing her wages. And they'd already made an arrangement with me so that I could pay these things off. And I was shocked. I said, that can't happen. Step by step, came into information about the Internal Revenue Code, Code 26. I studied that, and after about 3 years in my enthusiasm, I got rid of my corporation, my dental corporation, and I adopted a non-filing status. And then it took me about another 6 years to be completely convinced that what I was doing was proper for me. I would not suggest anybody do it until they really studied it and felt for themselves. So I don't want to misguide people. It's probably not a wise idea to do what I've done, but I've already done it, and I'm at a point where I really don't see, other than divine intervention, it spinning around any other way. I have to go to court. I have to do these things now. So I've been handed, what did the commander say? You're handed these things, and God watches and sees how you handling that one, Ron? I think, fortunately, with my wife and my good friends and my connection with God, that I've been allowed to stand firm and strong, and which would lead me up to the experience where the day I went into court to answer, actually, an indictment under 7201, which is for attempted to evade or defeat a tax. That's the citation in the Internal Revenue Code. And I had not had any notice. Well, I did know that they were investigating me criminally for a year. But I'd asked what their authority was. I'd asked all these things, and I was always very meticulous about writing to them in response, requesting their authority and having this open conversation. But it's hard to do that when you're talking to form letters and computers. There's not anybody out there, and they will never really give you the answers. So in 1 month, in February of 1998, I received both two great benefits. One is that some work I was doing with this breakthrough technology with dentistry, I received an article, you know, in Popular Mechanics, and in that same month I was indicted. So in my prayer, as I mentioned this to, I think, Claudia, my prayer this year was to be able to not judge anything as good and bad, to see it in the light of the blessing that it could be. But that's a real tough one sometimes, yeah? So I'm not saying you don't use discernment of, you know, dark and light, but I'm saying that here I was faced with this thing. I had this really great thing happened to Popular Mechanics, and then all of a sudden they had this indictment that I had to show up in court with, right? So I had done my homework, and I'm not one flippantly to do things, except sometimes Melissa would say, probably. But I did do my homework, and I read the code, and I studied, and I had been involved with a number of different seminars and things. I was really convinced that this is proper, that what we had been lied to, that there was a fraud on the people. And going back to Fuller, before he passed on in 1983, he had written a book called Grunch of Giants, and it's only a 98-page volume, Grunch of Giants. Grunch means, it's an acronym. It's Gross Universal Cash Heist of Giants. That's what it means. Gross Universal Cash Heist of Giants. And in that 98 pages, he reveals to the reader the international banking cartel, everything that we have learned basically, I think, from various writings of various authors in the Contact for the last 10 years or so, that if people have been reading it. At least that's where I'm placing it right now. Maybe it's some other books I've read too. Oh, Eustace Mullins, The Secrets of the Federal Reserve. That's where I'm thinking, because Eustace, as a matter of fact, that's where I met Eustace the first time, was in a seminar about the Internal Revenue Service being held in Honolulu in 1981 or 2 or 3, someplace in there. And I read his book on The Secrets of the Federal Reserve, and it fit with what Fuller had told me, and it fit with what I was reading in the code, and I had studied somewhat in economics, but... So, going to the event of the day where I walked into court, I had studied Miller's. Of course, we came across Miller's information about a year or so ago. I'd listened to the tapes actively, and I have a pretty good recall, so I could distinguish some of those things. And then he happened to be in Honolulu in January, just happened to be. And so we had a mini-seminar in my office with some other people, and I obtained some videotapes that he had of some work he was doing down in Florida. And David's a very likable person. I personally like him, but I have some suspicion that maybe what he's doing is giving him some disinformation too, because he has a background with CIA and some other activities. And so in my questioning and conversation, I was kind of like weighing this, and this is the challenge of life, is to sort out truth from falsehood. But what he was saying was always bearing out, because when I would read what he would present on the video, I would go to the rules of federal procedure, the court rules, and it would click out. I mean, I could understand what he was saying. At least it fit. So I had planned, sometime before I had met Miller, that if I were ever indicted under any criminal, or actually alleged criminal, section of the Code 26, that I would send a letter to the court explaining that I would not be showing up for the summons, in all due respect, that I'm not the person they're talking about. That was my... And then I would wait until they came and arrested me. That was my plan. Well, I mean, this was a crazy plan, but this was my plan, right? Because the reason... why would you do that is to challenge jurisdiction. You would... The thing is, if you challenge jurisdiction before anything, they have to arrest you, and then you could work with that in terms of false arrest. You're not the person. You have a lot of issues to deal with if you're arrested. So that was kind of my plan, to type out this very clear letter if I were ever indicted, send it out. That's my own. That was some work I was doing with some letters that I had read years ago about a possible strategy. When you're on the hot seat, you really grasp for straws. So... When Miller's information came along, I thought, no, what I could do here is I could go in and I could, in good faith, show up in court, challenge the summons, the authority of the court, under the jurisdictional issue of that I am a foreign jurisdiction for the purposes of the yellow fringe flag with the spike or the eagle or the two eagles or Bill Clinton on the top. I don't know. So that was my plan. I had really studied Miller's stuff, and I fairly well could comprehend it, and I did do that on that day. As Commander was talking about Archangel Michael, I had read something a day or two before that, too, where it really impressed me, and so I wore blue that day. I literally cloaked myself in this blue, and I walked into court, and I had my American flag here, and then some friends were there, and I think they were trembling as much as I was. Germain, Saint Germain says consistently, experiment, 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 investigate, 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 and I just absolutely love it, and I could not do anything but investigate, and it was okay for me to do this. Although I didn't probably know what I was getting into, and if I would have, I thought might have done it anyway, I don't know. I then did what Miller's technology is basically that when you walk into a court, you're in common law jurisdiction, the ground level. The second level is equity, the third level is admiralty. Because the American flag or the national flag, the yellow fringe flag, sits up there. And unless, if you joined with the judge, if you answer a question of his, you've submitted to jurisdiction. Now, somebody asked me, what did I learn by the experience? And I said, I learned that Miller's technology works. It does work.
You get arrested, right.
That's what works after it works. That's when it doesn't work. Because what happens is that for three times, and I was standing there, I brought all my books, I had my Federal Rules of Civil Procedure here, and I had them all so I could flip to them, you know. And I had written down what I was going to do, and I arrayed certain things, so I had certain cues. And then the prosecutor was here, and I was standing here, and of course I was shaking. A little bit. No, I was at the common law level down there with y'all. So I was standing there. Actually, I wasn't shaking. I was like in a daze, I think. I don't know. I just really was present. I mean, it was hot. It was really hot in that room, and it was okay, though. But it was like I was doing something. I wanted the truth out so much. If this is the truth, I wanted to find out. So here the prosecutor said to the judge, he introduced himself. The judge says, prosecutor, and then he introduced himself. He says, I'm so-and-so Kawakami from Department of Justice. I'm here representing the United States government. And then he turned to me and he said, I presume you're Mr. Carlson. And I was standing there and I said, I cannot understand a foreign language. Get this. This is a Title IV USC 1 flag, Article 1, Section 1, Section 2. My name is Ronald Stanley Carlson, and I am here in common law jurisdiction. I invite the judge to join me. The judge went. And everybody, I couldn't see behind me, but Melissa and Paul related later, the attorneys went. For the listeners, is this being tape recorded?
Yes.
For the listeners, I just made a funny face. But the judge, the attorneys didn't know what was happening. The judge did know what was happening. But he then asked me again. And I said the same, basically. And then I had been audacious enough to present to the court a motion to dismiss the indictment based upon the fraud of the indictment. And I had gone through all three counts of the indictment and underlined it and pointed out where there are adjective frauds according to Miller's technology with punctuation. And then four cornering. These are things that if you listen to the tapes, you'll find out about it. They have some truth, I think, in the dictionaries of law, Black's Law Dictionary, and maybe have truth in law, but the fact is the judge won't accept them. I mean, it's just, this is, they don't even listen to that. So after I did that, then he turned to the prosecutor and he said, well, read the indictment. So they went through probably indictment, and of course that was embarrassing. No, it was, because it said some things in the body of the indictment that really kind of made me not look too good, but I won't repeat them here, because I have a commitment to look good.
Don't we all?
Yeah, really. So then, I don't want to read the indictment, Ray. After they read the indictment, the judge turned back to me and said, well, is this true, Mr. Carlson?